chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look together at the very first verse, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. As God led me to give direction to our church for 2023, and God pressed upon my heart the theme that He is greater. It really comes from the idea as Christians, our trust, our hope, our faith is in the Lord. And we can rise above the circumstances of our life because of the Lord. That we can go from victims to victors. He is greater than the troubles and trials. He is greater than the world. He is greater than all the things that we see around us. Our focus must be on the Lord. And every month throughout this year, we're going to look at those different thoughts. And we're going to put it all together. And I hope by the end of 2023, you realize that you're not a victim, that you are a victor in Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's what we want to accomplish this year. And so we're going to kick it all off as we look at, through the month of January, we're going to look at God is greater than the world. And we're going to build a foundation for that thought here tonight. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says together, verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray that you would give us understanding. I pray that you would give us clarity. I pray that you would guide and direct us. Your word teaches us it is by your Spirit that we are led into truth. And may that be the case tonight. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our study tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice this expression. This word that's found in our text and throughout the book of 1 John, and that is the world. The world. Christians are not to be overcome by the world. Christians are to be overcomers of the world. That's okay, he'll be okay. We are to be overcomers of the world. We are to be victorious, victors. John chapter 16, verse 31, the Bible says, "Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Now, he's talking about the hour of his cross. And there would become a time when his disciples would flee from him. They would run for their lives, and Jesus is saying that I'll be all alone, but I won't be all alone because my Father will be with me. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation or troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." John chapter 15 and verse 18, the Bible says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hateth me before it hateth you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." I have chosen you out of the world. What is a Bible church? a Bible church, an ecclesia, is a called out assembly, called out from the world. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are called out from the world for a purpose, God's purpose. Now, a Christian might be in the world, but we are not of the world. This is what the Bible teaches us. We pass through this world, but our roots, our philosophies, and our mindset is not of this world. Now, there are Christians that are enamored by the world. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul sadly wrote, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas had his roots in this world, and he forsook Paul and the ministry. But we gotta really define this, because I think a lot of people just get this confused. What is the world? Well, from a physical standpoint, we know the world is the earth. We know that together with all of its countries, all of its people, all of its natural features, we would say that is indeed the world. The people, societies, institution of the earth. In a physical sense, this is indeed the world. But this is not what the Bible is talking about. There are some people who associate worldliness by what someone owns. You know, because they own this or own that, they would call them worldly, or worldly in their pursuit, or worldly in their ownership or of products or certain different things. But this is not what the Bible is teaching us. What does the Bible mean when it says the world? And what does it mean to be worldly or like the world? Well, I think we have to really break it all down. We have to go right to the very beginning. God created everything, the world, for his glory. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God." If you have a problem with Genesis 1:1, you're going to have a problem with the entire Bible. In the beginning, God. God is the declaration. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created everything, but also God created everything for a purpose. God created Adam and Eve to have dominion. In Genesis 1, verse 28, the Bible says that God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." The word dominion means to rule. God created man to rule. They were to have dominion. But then sin entered into the picture. And if you're a Bible student, you know that man's rule came to an end. The story is told in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." That's God's created purpose for humanity. They were to have dominion, but then sin entered into the picture. And verse 8, the Bible says, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." That's the sinful present. That's where our world is today. So whose influence is in our world today? Well, that would be the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. And when we talk about the world, we're talking about its influence. We're talking about its direction. We're talking about its cultural sway. It is not of God. It is of the devil. Its philosophy is not godlike. The philosophy or the mindset of the world is not godly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says it this way, in whom the God of this world, lowercase g, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world is the God of those who are not believers in Jesus. And the world doesn't understand this, but they are being led by the devil himself, and they don't even know it. You say, Pastor Burns, prove that in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened. Now, he's writing here to believers. To be quickened means to be made alive. And if you're going to be made alive, it means that you were dead. And he defines himself, who were dead in trespasses. Trespasses means to cross the line. Sins mean to miss the mark. We have come short of the glory of God. We are made alive because we were dead in our sins. But then he teaches us what life was like before we were made alive. In verse 2 it says, therein in time past, look at this, ye walked according to the course of this world. According, now it defines who's leading the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The philosophy, the mindset, is the spirit of the devil or the spirit of Antichrist. We talk about Antichrist, it means instead of Christ. And there were those in Bible times that were concerned about the Antichrist that would walk upon the earth. John says, listen, the spirit of Antichrist is already present in the world. The mindset, the philosophy of the world is instead of Christ. By the way, when the devil came to Adam and Eve and tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what was the devil offering Adam and Eve? Listen, you can be your own God. You don't need God anymore. If you take of that fruit, you can be in control instead of Christ. It is the philosophy of the devil. And the Bible says that philosophy is in the world. And so worldliness is not the suit you wear or the brand of pants you're wearing. Worldliness is a mindset. It's a philosophy that is not godlike. It's of the world. It's of the prince of the power of the air. The world system is committed to really four major objectives. And that is fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. Four major objectives. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, 16, think about this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, it is of the world. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into our lives. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. We are no longer swayed by the devil. We're no longer following the philosophy of the devil and his mindset. No. We have the mind of Christ. We're led by the Spirit. We follow the Word of God. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we're overcomers. We're victors in Jesus Christ. That we are not slaves to the world. No, we're overcomers of the world. But how do we overcome the world? Here's the answer. It's simple tonight. Faith. faith. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me give you some thoughts as we think of this faith as overcomers. First of all, tonight, if you're taking notes, would you write down faith in God's purpose? Faith in God's purpose. And God's purpose is according to his timetable. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Would you turn there in our Bibles together? Ephesians chapter 1. And notice, if we could, in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. The first chapter of the book of Ephesians and the 10th verse. We're thinking about the purposes of God. It's according to his timetable. In verse 10, the Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, what this passage of Scripture is talking about is God's eternal purpose in the life of a believer. That God has saved us, but he hasn't saved us just for nothing. He has an eternal purpose in our saving, in our salvation. And the Bible says that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We call this in biblical terms the glorification, that one day we will have a glorified body and we shall see Jesus, for we shall be like him. We'll also have a glorified body. And the work of sin and the curse of sin will no longer have an effect on our life. And that truly will be a wonderful, wonderful day. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it tells us the same thing, but in a different way. It says in Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. A lot of people construe scripture and they make that sound like it's talking about salvation, that we are predestined to be saved. It's not what the Bible is talking about. We are predestined after our salvation to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many like him, to have a glorified body. And so the Bible talks about the fact that God has a purpose in our salvation, but glorification is a future event. So there's three really steps of salvation. There's your salvation. It's the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. And then there's your sanctification. That's the nasty here and now, right? That's God's working in our life, and he's chipping away those rough edges. And then there's the future event of the glorification. And so we're in the, if you're a Christian, you're in the sanctification process. You're growing. You're growing. And this is a process. And the Bible teaches us that we need patience in God's plan. And patience is hard. The thought of patience is endurance, right? The Bible says it this way, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The word patience is endurance. And so we're running a race, and there's going to be tribulation that's going to come into our life. And our society today, when troubles come or pressures come, what's the first thing that people think about when pressures come into their life? What's their thought? All you have to do is think like me. I'm just joking. You don't want to think like me. Quit. I'm going to give up. Troubles come into our life. Pressures come into our life. We're just going to throw in the towel. We're going to quit. We're going to give up. But the Bible says that we are to endure. We're to keep going. We're to keep running the race. And troubles will come and difficulties will come. But there's a patience in the Christian life because, yeah, in the future we have the glorification, but we're in the sanctification. And we have to run with that patience and that endurance. Someone said patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, but never in a man. You know, we're going to have to run with patience this race that is set before us. We're going to have to press on. But the purposes of God, now we have God's purposes in our life, the purposes of God are always trustworthy. I heard the story of a young boy who went to a local store with his mother, and the shop owner, a kind older man, passed him a large jar of candy and invited him to reach in and get a handful of the candy. And the boy, who not normally is shy, he held back. And so the shop owner pulled out a handful of candy for him and set it on the table and pushed it toward him and said, "That's for you." When the mother and the boy were outside, the mother looked at the boy and said, "Why are you suddenly shy? Why didn't you get a handful of candy when you were offered it?" And the boy replied, "Because his hand is much bigger than mine." The reality is that God is a gracious God. And I'm glad today that he is my Heavenly Father. I'm glad today that I'm an overcomer through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a giving God. And listen, you can trust his loving care. And we're going to continue this message next week. We don't have time to finish it. But I just want to end on this important note when we relate it back to the world. And we think of the philosophy of the world. Think about this for just a moment, friend. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. And I want to be bold tonight to say, biblically, the Bible teaches us that the devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your kids. He doesn't care about your home. He doesn't care about your welfare. He doesn't care about your health. He doesn't care about your direction. He hates you because he hates God. And the Bible teaches us that the world will hate us because at the forefront of the world is the course that the devil has plotted. The world will hate you because they hate me, Jesus said. The Bible teaches us that the world, they offer you greatness. They offer you wonder. But at the end of the day, the world will leave you in the pig pen of life. But God cares about us. And he loves us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Turn there if you would. You know this scripture, but I want us to see it again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And notice what the Bible says, Romans 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God has an eternal purpose in our life. And God takes the circumstances of our life, and some are good and some are bad. And you go through these circumstances and these heartaches of your life, and the devil is right there. He's right there whispering in your ear, "God doesn't care about you. Why would he allow this to happen? If God really loved you, why would he allow these events to take place in your life?" And then he'll start getting you to look at other Christians and say, "They're not going through that. You're going through that." That's a lie of the devil. God takes all of the events of your life and he weaves them together in a wonderful tapestry of his love and grace. But you're going to have to endure, and you're going to have faith to believe that we're overcomers of the world and that God's way is better than the world, as we trust in him. And so I want to close tonight with this question. Do you have an area in your life that you need to trust God? You know, the opposite of trust is fear. And fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep us from becoming what God intends us to be. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep us from being what God wants us to be. But we are overcomers by faith as we trust that God's way is greater than the world. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray, Lord, as we go through this study,